So we don't have too much going on, amen. Thursday evening prayer is postponed, but as it would happen to be, it's Thanksgiving, and so it would be postponed even though it's family week. And so other thing I want to say is get yourself some Revived Soul this week, amen. Go ahead, get you some downloads, amen, hallelujah. I was jamming on the way here. It was on, man. You can keep yourself clean, amen, from that filthy worldly stuff. And you can jam something that's actually going to revive your soul and not kill your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And so just go to Revive Soul and download. And that way you can jam that all day. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. We got anything else, love? Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's get started right away so we can try to get y'all out of here early tonight. Amen. Now you see that? Y'all think I'm clowning. All right, 2 Samuel 13 and 13, amen. The Bible says, and I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Father, we thank you, God, that we can speak unto the king, that we can come boldly before your throne of grace, that we might receive help in the time of need. And, oh God, like the songwriter, the hymn writer says, we need thee every hour. We need you this hour. For there could be no preaching of your word, no teaching of your word, no proclamation of your word without your anointing, King. And there can be no understanding and no revelation without your spirit. So be with us here. Bless us now, our Savior. We come to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been in 2 Samuel, and we've observed how Amnon lusted after his own half-sister. And we talked about the fact that he could not do anything to her because of the safety mechanisms, the safeguards which were put in place by the original Hebrews. For young men and young women did not commingle, amen. The daughters of Zion were kept secure and safe, amen, from the opposite gender. And we just challenge you to watch your children like we did in old times. Because the Bible says that the devil, amen, is seeking, roaming about like a roaring lion, amen, seeking whom he may devour, amen. And if he can't get you, believe me, he's going to try to get your children. So you got to have your eyes open, saints. You can't be sleeping on the job here. Their souls depend upon it. Amen. And so we talked about that. Because of the safety mechanisms, Amnon, his lust was put in check. However, he had a friend named Jonadab. And Jonadab concocted a scheme by which he can get Amnon alone with Tamar. And they used David to do it. They had Amnon play like he was sick. And his daddy came to see him. And he told his daddy, look, the only way I'm going to feel better, daddy, why don't you get Tamar to come and cook at my house, in my room, and feed me my food in her hand, in my mouth. And David, being caught up in his own stuff, not knowing his son and his discernment being dull, couldn't see the devil's strategies and his plots and his plans. Oh, for us Hebrews and Christians alike, all of us, never to be so caught up in our sins that we don't see the devil's plots for our children, amen? That we never be like David and lead our children, amen, to the place where they're going to be destroyed. We talked about, amen, David sending her there. Tamar proceeded to cook. Amnon put everybody out, grabbed her by the hand, and said, lie with me, my sister. And we was talking about, amen, the things that could have happened to not allow her to be in that situation. But we also talked about the things she told Amnon, amen, to negotiate with him, why he shouldn't do what he was doing. And the first point we had last week was, and I. And that point was about considering the other person in sexual immorality. Because Tamar was like, what about me? I know you're doing you, but what about me? Where shall I cause my shame to go? And we talked about us, amen, not sinning and sexual morality, not just for us, but for the other person, us leading other people into sin, leading them into bondage, leading them, amen, into death and a lack of success, and ultimately leading them to hell. Amen. Second point was, as for thee. And she said, Amnon, you need not do this, hallelujah, for me, but also for you. You shall be like one of the fools of Israel. This thing is not going to turn out good for you either, Amnon. And so we stay away from sexual morality, not just because we hurt other people, because actually we hurt ourselves. We sin against our God, crucify afresh our risen Lord. We trod his crucified body in the blood. We trample it underfoot like it means nothing. When we sin in sexual morality, amen, we hook ourselves up into bondage. We put death in our own lives, a lack of success. We sin against our own bodies. We talked about the diseases and different things that people get. But we not only contract diseases, we contract spiritual wickedness we contract, soul ties. And lastly, there's hell. So listen, we had 3 points last time, but we just covered two. We covered Ani and as for thee. And all of this was in the vein of why we should stay away from sexual immorality. Amen. I know the pressure been up in Philly. Amen. We've been talking about Ananias and Sapphira during the week. I've been talking about God come through and punish and judge. And then we come through, we're talking about sexual immorality on Tuesday. Boy, how much he must love Philadelphia, huh? Huh? The Bible says he chasing those whom he loves. I mean, you're going somewhere and he's not chasing and you're not correcting you. Amen. When he loves you, that's when he get with you. You see? So we're going to talk about our third point this evening. And that's the only one we're going to cover. Speak unto the king. Somebody say, speak unto the king. We're going to have a few sub-points, amen. And we're going to try to do that for the glory of God. So in 2 Samuel 13:13, she says, now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Remember, Tamar is trying to convince Amnon not to force her into sexual immorality. And she's telling Amnon, she's saying, listen, you don't have to do this. There are other options on the table here. You don't have to rape me, man. We don't have to do this like this. All right? There's alternatives here besides sin. All right? Catch your head. See what's going on. Amen. Let's talk about this thing. And maybe you can get what you really want another way that's not going to destroy both our lives. Right? But in order for you to get that, you're going to have to speak unto the king. Oh, come on, somebody. Can you? Oh, I'm telling you. You're going to have to speak unto the king. You see what I'm saying? And what she was telling him was, hey, maybe listen. Maybe if you're speaking to the king, David will allow you to have my hand in marriage. And what you're trying to get unlawfully, you can get it lawfully. And we won't be in sin and my life won't be destroyed and you won't miss the crown. Listen, speak unto the king and I could be your wife. And what you want, you can get without sinning before the Most High. This is what she's saying. I'm telling you, this is a godly woman here, man. All right? All right? She's telling him, look, sexual immorality is not the answer, Amnon. And a lot of the times when we sin, we are sinning when God has provided an opportunity for us to get it without sin. Oh, come on, somebody. And she was right. She was right. It might not have been the perfect situation, the Cinderella storybook wedding, all right? But in the Bible, and Tamar knows her scripture, She knows that in the Bible, in exigent situations, in extreme circumstances, God has allowed relatives in the past, not right now, no cousins come up to the altar. God has allowed relatives in the past, in extreme situations, to marry one another. Tamar knows this, all right? And so she's saying, listen, we don't have to get down like that, all right? You my half-brother, I'm your half-sister. But if you know your Bible, Amnon, Abraham married his half-sister. Ooh, come on, somebody. It's not the perfect situation, but you see where she's coming from. You say, Pastor, Abraham married his half-sister? Yes, he did. Remember when Abraham lied to Abimelech and they walked into, and he said, this is my sister, because he was scared. He wasn't scared, he was scared. Right? And in Genesis 20 and verse 2, the Bible says, and yet indeed, when he was caught, and yet indeed she is my sister, for she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. So what Abraham is saying, I know y'all going, yuck, I'm just trying to break the scripture with you, all right? What Abraham is saying, they was half brother and sister. And it got done under extreme circumstances. Tamar was telling the same thing to Amnon, trying everything for him not to rape her, for him not to commit forcible sexual immorality. And he's telling her, look, we can get this done another way. All you got to do is do what? Speak to the king. And that's how we are, saints. That's how we are. This word is real for us. Especially when it comes to sexual immorality. We got to speak to the king. A lot of the times we want something and the devil is trying to push us to sin to get it. When God already made provision for us, if we would just speak to the king. We don't have to sin and be in bondage. We don't have to, amen, hallelujah, subject ourselves to a lack of success or even endanger ourselves going to hell. All we got to do is just speak unto the king. Talk to God and see if he has other options available, alternatives, you see. Get in his word. Pray. Realize that the king has made some provisions, given us some options, some alternatives, that we don't have to commit sexual immorality. I'm going to give you some things that God has done for us to restrain sexual immorality, amen, in our world and in our community. And this is important for us, saints. Because as I'm looking out, sexual morality is running rampant. And it's because we're not utilizing the tools that the king has given us. Amen. We have not spoken to the king. All right? All right? So let's talk about it a little while. And listen, while I'm here, I want all the youth that's here, amen, just to kind of buckle your seatbelt. Come on, youth, just buckle your seatbelt. Everybody under 18, just buckle your seatbelt. Amen. Hallelujah. We won't have youth in December either. I know they send y'all texts, but I'm overriding that text. Y'all gonna stay with me for a little while. Amen. Y'all gonna stay with me for a little while. Y'all gonna stay with Pastor for a little while. And Pastor gonna talk with y'all. I want y'all to finish this section with me or come close to it. Amen. Because this thing right here will save your soul and it's gonna transform your life. And you're not gonna make the same mistakes that a lot of people made. Amen. And so it's just the providence of God, amen, that has you here tonight, amen, and been having you with us, hallelujah. And I like it. I like it. Amen. So our teenagers especially, amen, God has provided some things to where you don't have to commit sexual immorality. You don't have to sin against him. Amen. He's provided some things, amen, so you could do it the right way. Come on, give God some glory, amen. What has God provided? He's provided a marriage. That's right. He's provided marriage. Just like Tamar to Amnon, we ain't got to take it this route. We can get married. We can get married. Amen? And you can get what you want, but we can do it under the grace of God. As we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting at verse 1, the Bible says this, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for for a man not to touch a woman. You see, they wrote to Paul about a problem in Corinth. Amen. Corinth was a hot city, meaning that they had some problems in Corinth. The particular polytheistic idol that they worship, amen, was an idol of sexual immorality. And so sexual immorality was part of the worship experience for the false gods in Corinth. They had temple prostitutes, you see. They were inundated in a culture of perversion, sautéing and marinating in it. And when they got saved, you get saved, amen. But after you get saved, some things are taken away. But let's be real, there's some remnants of the old man that abides and remains, amen. So Corinth got saved, but they were still living in Corinth. And they still had this struggle of perversion that they had to live in the midst of, soaking in it, a cesspool of it. It kind of reminds me of America today. A nation that's preoccupied with sexual immorality. You see? And so Paul says, concerning the thing whereof you wrote unto me, y'all wrote unto me, how can we stop this thing that's going on in the church and in our society? How can we overcome this sexual immorality, this fornication, this adultery, this homosexuality, this all of these things that's going on, the lust? Paul says in verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Oh, it's getting good up in here. It's getting good up in here. Here we go. Here we go. Paul says, you want to know, Corinth, how to stop this society of sexual immorality that y'all soaking in? How to stop people in the church from going back to their former lifestyles of infidelity? Amen. Of just being with just anybody. He says to avoid fornication. He said, let every man have his own wife, and every wife have her own husband. You see what I'm saying? To stop forms of fornication, people need to get married. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Oh, we're going to break it all the way down. Don't worry about it. All right? Marriage has been given to us by God as a means to avoid fornication. It's a remedy. It's a tool. It's the answer. I know you believe that one of the only reasons for marriage is to have children, but the devil is a liar. That's not the only reason. God gave marriage so everybody wouldn't be trying to get with everybody at all times. It was to restrain sin, to bridle it, to hold it back so he won't bust forth and destroy us all. He gave us marriage as a safety mechanism. You see? He says, every man his own wife and every woman her own husband. Marriage is a safeguard against perversions. Listen to me. In every society, in every country, in every state, in every city, in every community, and in every church where marriage is dishonored and disregarded and discouraged, that society will be full of perversion and filth and pollution. You destroy the means by which God will keep immorality out of a society, and immorality will rush into that society. Do you understand what I'm saying, Philly? Marriage is the dam that blocks the flood of sexual perversion into a community, into a society. You destroy and break down and discourage marriage and watch the floodgates open. Come on, somebody. I'm trying hard. All right? Albert Barnes, a Bible commentator, says, A society will be pure and virtuous as long as marriage is deemed honorable and its vows adhered to and upheld and preserved. In America, marriage is being dishonored by allowing people to get married to dogs and cats and horses, by allowing people to get married, men with men and women with women, by discouraging our kids from getting married in the first place, by putting on the TVs and the radios and the music, amen, a culture where adultery is normalized. Let me tell you, a marriage has been attacked, all right? And because marriage is being attacked and discouraged and demoralized, amen, we are seeing the flood of perversion, amen, just enter into American society. Paul told Corinth, the tool to avoid fornication is to have a society that is built upon marriage, a church that's built upon marriage. And listen, they get mad at Philadelphia. They say, don't go to that church. Don't go to that church, because if you go to that church, you're going to end up married. That's the word on the street. So you singles that's out there, watch your back. Because Pastor plotting on you. But it's not Pastor that's plotting. It's the word of God. Hallelujah. And listen to me. We got whole denominations that discourage marriage. Holding, I can name them for you. Denominations from antiquity and denominations in our status quo in the present time right now. Both that discourage marriage. And what we've seen in the church is a flood of homosexuality within the church. When you break down marriage, perversion gonna come in. And the churches that we don't see a flood of homosexuality, we see a flood of everything else that's going on in the church. All right? And if I stand indicted, amen, for being a preacher, heading up a church, amen, that promotes marriage, that seeks to marry people, that seeks for people to keep their covenant and not divorce, then I stand accused and guilty this night in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Because I know what marriage means to a church. Strong marriages build a strong church. And churches that don't have all manner of sexual immorality in it either. You see? Paul said to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife. And every woman have her own husband. Listen to me good. This teaches us something. It teaches us what marriage is all about. Marriage in God's eyes is not between man and beast. It's not between man and man and woman and woman. He said, let every man have his own wife. It's between a man and a woman. That's what marriage is. That's what the Bible says. That's the Bible way. It's not only between a man and a woman. It's between one man and one woman. It's not the Salt Lake City way. It's not the Utah way. It's not the Mormon way. It's the Bible way. Polygamy is out the door. Anybody listening, you better start singing. I don't want to be a player no more, because it's over once you get saved. All right? It's over. Them days over with. One man, one woman. You see what I'm saying? Somebody say marriage. Marriage. That's right, to avoid fornication. And God did this, y'all. He did this for us. You don't think that God could have just looked down from heaven, knowing our natural desires to be with one another, and to be upset and to be mean, God could have said, y'all just stay apart. I'm outlawing all of that. Nobody mess with nobody. Ooh, it'd have been rough. But in his grace, God said, I'm going to give you a way of escape. I'm going to give you an avenue to express your affection and love. Amen. I'm going to allow you to marry somebody. Now, you can't marry everybody, but I'm going to allow you to marry somebody. You see, there's some restrictions as well, but at least he gave us a way out. You see what I'm saying? Somebody said, yes, Lord. You see, one of the reasons God put that there was to stop fornication. You don't have to fornicate, just get married. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to that woman and man shacking up right now. I came to Bible study tonight. That young man said, I don't know why you brought me here. I told you he was going to talk about us. That's just the way it is at this church. And you're right, young man. But the fact of the matter is, you don't have to live in sin no more. You can marry that woman tomorrow. You could please God tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? It could be fast like that. The world has so discouraged marriage. Huh? And it seems like when two people love each other and want to get married, it's not enough. They got to have $20,000 for a wedding. They got to buy dresses that they never going to wear again and do this, that, roll out, ding, down, out. They got to do $20,000 worth of stuff to impress people that really don't like them and jealous of them. All right? So we got a lot of Christians that don't have the material wealth to get married. But because this thing has been set up against marriage, they sit in sin, not pleasing God, just not to have a regular decent marriage, just to please somebody else. They displease God and sit in sin. Anybody hear me up in here? But you ain't got to worry about that with Pastor Omar. I'm giving marriage specials. All right? I'll marry you tonight if you really want it. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? I marry them in the office, in the nursery, in the closet. Let me tell you, you catch me at McDonald's, I marry in the drive-thru. You love him? You love him? Kiss him in the mouth, like Phil would say. I've been hanging with that dude too much, Misha. Listen to me now. It's been stacked up against marriage. And it's the way to keep you out of it. And it's the way to keep you in sin. And so we discourage it. And when our children, their bodies get ready, 17, 18, we tell them, finish college. When they finish college, we say, finish grad school. So we tack 4 years on that. Now, they 17, 18, they ready at that point. But we tack on 4 years, now they 22. We tack on another 4 years, now they 26. And then we tell them, go get you a good job, buy your house and buy your car, make sure you're 4K, 1K loaded. And by time, they my age before they think about getting married. You know? Now, how you expect somebody whose body start rolling at 18 to hold themselves till 35 or 40 is being stacked up against it. The Bible said to avoid fornication, marriage. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. I love that because the Bible says it's better to marry than to burn. We allow our children to burn with lust. And sometimes ultimately they die and bust hell wide open and burn in hell. All because we're trying to please a society, amen, that's in opposition, in enmity with marriage. And we know why they're in enmity with marriage. Because marriage represents a picture of the Most High and the love for his people and his church. And anything that God likes and calls good, the devil calls bad and tries to stop it. And that's why we have the assault on marriage today. Listen to me, it's whole denominations that's part of this. That's just not really pumping marriage up, you know. But the Bible says in Proverbs 5:18, man of God, it says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Rejoice with her. Love her. Share yourself with her. In that same chapter, amen, it tells us don't let your fountain be all over the street. Don't be everywhere, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to read this one, but Brent, don't put the next verse up, okay? Y'all just, nobody move. Take all y'all hands off the keys. I'm just going to read the next verse, and I'm going to skip the word. You know what I'm saying? But those that know their Bible know the word. The Bible says, let her be as the loving hind and the pleasant roe. Talking about your wife. And let her, satisfy thee, her body, satisfy thee at all times. And be thou ravished always with her love, the Bible says. Not everybody else's love. She got everything you need. You ain't got to go nowhere else. She got everything you need. And woman of God, he got everything you need. You ain't got to go no place else. God put that thing together and everybody is equipped, amen, to satisfy everybody else. Oh, Pastor cutting up in here. You would rather hear it at church than any place else. All right? All right? Yeah. While they dishonoring marriage, God told me, I said, God, what do you want me to tell you people? He told me, he said, son, tell them that marriage is honorable. Tell them it's honorable. Tell the young men that when they marry, they're not doing something that's reprobate. No, they're doing something that's good. It's honorable. You're doing the right thing. You're doing a thing to be looked up to be proud of. But you've been brainwashed. And so they call marriage being hooked up to the old ball and chain. So that's what you think it is. Oh, my life over. You start saying stuff like that. Your life not over. My life didn't start till I got married. I didn't get blessed with favor. I didn't get anointed, amen, to pastor a church till God knew that I was ready, amen, to run a home and run a family. We got boys wanting to stay boys and not wanting to be men. It's because of this culture, this anti-biblical, anti-marriage culture. You see? Now, in this verse, we have to really look at this good, because in order for marriage to work, restraining sin, some things are going to have to happen in the marriage relationship. Oh, God. In verse 3 of chapter 7 of Corinthians, I'm going to keep it real, but I'm going to keep it clean. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Amen. Hallelujah. Chance, I can't forget when you was up there praying. Duck, you remember that? Chance, can I talk about it? All right. Man, Chance was praying for Duck one time. He was about to come up to preach, I think. We was out of town, babe. I was watching it on live stream, Chance. Chance praying for Duck, the spirit falling, boy. She prayed, Lord, anoint him, touch him, Lord, touch him. And she said, Lord, give him a word. Give him due benevolence, God. I said, wait. And I don't know. Maybe it was in the back, me and Doug, right? And I think Doug said, amen, amen. You might not have known you were praying in the spirit, but you were praying, Doug said, amen. All right, so in order for marriage to restrain sin, some things got to go on in the marriage relationship. Listen, remember, we're talking about speaking to the king. The king has other options, other provisions, amen, so you don't have to sin. The one that we're covering right now is marriage. If you just understand marriage, amen, decide to stop sinning, get married, honor your vows, amen. If everybody did that in America who was called to marriage, amen, there would be no fornication in America. It would solve the problem right away, all right? That's what we're talking about. But now we're opening the hood of marriage, amen, and we're going to show you that something has to happen within the marriage relationship. Amen. To make sure that we get the benefit that God wants our marriage to have. And he tells us in verse 7, he says, listen now. He said, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Now, let's break that word down. All right? Due. Okay? Due is something that's owed. Something that is deserved. Something that you have a right to. All right? A basic definition of justice. Amen. No matter if you're looking at the old philosophers like Immanuel Kant, amen, or Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the basic definition of justice is to give every man his due. That's justice, all right? There is a justice that needs to happen in marriage. There is a due that needs to be given. There is a right that needs to be fulfilled. There is something that is deserved that needs to be given. Hey, God, all right? That's the due. That's the due. Now, let's talk about benevolence. All right? Benevolence is goodwill. All right? It's goodwill. It's affection. It's love. All right? Somebody say, show a brother some love. You. Yeah. All right? So due benevolence is showing a brother some love, or in some cases, showing a sister some love. Hey! All right? All right? And the Bible is trying to tell us that the spouse has a right to that. They deserve it. And some of y'all, he don't deserve it. No. He deserves it based upon the vows and the marriage relationship, the covenant. All right? Render unto the husband. Let me see, where we at? Y'all got me nervous in here. Hey, I'm trying to keep everything. Husband, but look what it starts off. It starts off, husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Isn't that something? That you got some cases where they got some husbands that's not handling their business. All right? Get them, Pastor. Hold on. You know how we doing? Listen to me. If the husband not handling his business and it's something that's due the spouse, something that they're entitled to, when you're not handling your business, you're in sin. You're in sin. You're not giving your husband or your wife what's due. All right? That husband that's not handling up on due benevolence is in sin. And a lot of times, it be the most spiritual people around church, acting like they're walking on water, want to quote scripture and all that. But when they get home, they don't know how to handle their business. You're in sin. You're in sin. And if you're going to subjugate your wife or your husband to a life of misery where you're not showing them that physical affection that the word mandates that you should give, amen, you're not as mature as you think you are. We got a lot of women of God that play mature, play big time, huh? Walk on water, split seas, all right? But they're not following that basic commandment. You married, sister. You understand me? You married. And listen, by the word of God, all right? You gotta handle up. That's all I can say. You gotta handle up. You gotta render to that husband. I get three claps from the lady. Look. Hey man, I'm just being real. All right, we done told y'all before that, listen, some it's not an every night thing, all right? And somebody said, right. Now, boy, that's you. No. Listen. But like we say, you know what I'm saying? Twice a week, three times a week. What kind of church we done stumble into tonight? One husband that's a visitor saying, I came to the right place tonight. There is a living God, and his name is Jehovah Yahweh. El Shaddai Adonai. El Roi, the Lord that hears. The God that sees. Right. Due benevolence. It's the conjugal duties. Now, I want to show you how wicked our society is. All right. Now I do want to say, now, if there's a health reason, a complication, now, it's got to be legitimate. You can't be coming here faking no doctor stuff. You're forging that stuff like you used to forge excuses at school. So you dropping excuses on the nights. I got a doctor excuse. I'm not talking about no fake stuff, but if you got a legitimate. That's what he gave me for tonight, y'all. You see, I'm not going to know if it's on time right now, but I'm going to know in a minute. All right? So to stop fornication, get married. Stop all that laying around and stuff like that. And tell that man, listen, we're not playing, man. Listen, you want me? Marry me. All right? Marry me. And y'all done kill that sin. All right? Now, within the marriage, all right, now it's time to handle up. All right, I got two things. My mailbox is full. All right, I'm going to show you how wicked we are. Then I'm going to show you how wicked society is. How wicked we are. All right? Now, when we dating and when we not married, we won't handle up. all the time. Girl, what you doing? Now, when we put that ring on the finger, I got a headache. I'm tired. You know, them children been driving me. The funny thing is that when it's sin, we all right doing it. But when it's right, we don't want to do it no more. We done got it backwards. And I'm talking to some wives in here and some husbands. You got to examine your heart. You see, because when you're married, amen, the allure of sin is not there. The taste of sin. You see? And when you're not doing that when y'all married and you was cutting up when you wasn't married, it means that you had just like the taste of sin. And since it ain't sin no more, it don't taste good no more. That's how wicked that is. If it ain't sin, we don't want it. You got to renew your mind in that. All right? Now let me show you how wicked society is. And this is just a nugget for you. You know, back in the day, amen, when people went to prison and they were married, they would allow what was called conjugal visits because they understood scripture. And they knew that that married man in there had a right to be with his wife. And so the wife would come once a week or whatever like that. And my boy in jail, but he ain't worried. You see? Because his woman coming. You know? They done took away conjugal visits in the prisons. Now remember, marriage is there to restrain sexual immorality. You take the conjugal visits away from prison, what's going to happen inside the prisons? Huh? What's going to happen? Homosexuality. Now listen now. Now who run the prisons? The Ashkenazis? The fake Jews? The imposters? The same one that so they say you're married, but we're not going to let you be with your wife because we want you to be turned out before you get out of prison? Then they put in the music and the movies against marriage. It's a whole agenda against marriage. Can you see the big picture with me? Or can you only see the verse you're looking at? Can you see the big picture? I didn't hear that, but I know it was funny. You know? So here it is, y'all. You know? So marriage, right? Do benevolence, right? Verse 4, let's just read it while we're here. Let's just read it. All right? The wife had not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband had not power over his own body, but the wife. Well, that's some good scriptures, isn't it? Somebody gonna put that on the refrigerator tonight. That's my body. Look what he says in verse 5. Look at the language, how strong it is. Defraud ye not one the other. Defraud. You know what fraud is? Huh? You know what fraud is? Fraud is like a theft when you steal something through deceit and lying. You take that which is not yours from something that belongs to somebody else. He said, you're defrauding. He said, defraud not one another. You know? But handle up. Except it be for consent for a time. You see? And that means that there are seasons when y'all gonna take a break. All right? But he say it's gotta be by consent. And that means that one person can't say, well, we're going to fast for the month of January. that boy look at her. I ain't never said that I was going. We can fast, but not from everything. He said, except it be for consent for a time that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again. Why? That Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Because marriage is the barrier. It stops the immorality. If it's done right, if you stop fornicating around, marry. And once you get married, do benevolence. You can live a life where you never commit adultery and you never fornicate again. In Jesus' name. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. It is. Right? To our young people. Right? I'm going to talk to y'all a little bit. Young people realize, amen, that after your body get going, all right, and you start seeing boys and girls, all right, you only got a little bit of time that you got to hold yourself for. Just a little bit of time. Baby boy crying. You're not ready yet, baby boy. I'm talking about 3 years. Somebody say 3 years. 3 years. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They get going about 15. Obey the Lord for 3 years. Put in your work for 3 years. See, because you're not like adults. You can't just get mad. You got to wait a little while. But you ain't got to wait forever, no. Don't let the devil lie to you. And I'm not going to lie to you either. Because by the time you turn 18, ain't nobody can stop you from being married. Especially if you want to do something for the glory of God and not sin against your God. 18, go ahead and get married. Go ahead and get married. Amen. My wife, how old you was when we got married? She was 21. That's close enough. You see what I'm saying? But you see, the way the world is, oh, they get married young. They had not experienced. God didn't want us to experience everybody before we got married. That was never God's. But they never experienced. Experience what? You, how many times you wanted to go around the block before she settled down? In fact, it's the opposite. Remember I told you, if they can keep themselves and be pure, then the chances of them going outside is going to be, it's going to be nil to nothing. It's going to be slim. They ain't going to want to know nothing else. 3 years, young people. 3 years. And we're going to talk a little bit more, tell you, before it's over. No, pastor, leave us alone. No, no, no. This is real. Marriage. And then do benevolence in marriage. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. Oh, man. We got to move. B, let's talk about B. I want to talk with you about something called the gift. Y'all ain't going to like this one. The gift. It's in the same chapter of Corinthians. The gift. All right? In 1 Corinthians 7:7, it tells us, "For I would that all men were even as I myself," Paul says. "But every man has his proper gift of God. One after this manner and another after that." Amen. I'm talking about the gift here. The gift is another way that God has put upon the planet to stop sexual immorality. The gift. All right? You got some people, amen, they got the gift and some people don't. The ones that don't have it get married. The ones that do have it, they just stay single. And the gift gives them the grace to stay single. To not be balling up, burning up with lust. To not really want a man, not really want a woman. Amen. They have the Lord and they good. Now, how many people got the gift in here? Wow. Okay. All right. The gift that I'm talking about is the gift of celibacy. A life of abstinence. All right. And you'd be surprised, y'all. There are more people with this gift than you think. Yeah, God. And God has put it here to stop fornication. You see? is a person that can walk in self-control and not really struggle to stay out of sexual sin. I'm talking about the gift. You see? Now, some people have this gift, but because of the culture we live in, TV, radio, internet, the message of our world, the message of our world is boy, girl, in everything. The message of our world is man, woman. They can't sell a car without a man and a woman being together. You understand what I'm saying? You're watching a soda pop commercial, and it's got a man and a woman. The message of our culture, of the world, is a man got to be with a woman, and a woman got to be with a man. You know? And they're changing that now, and they're doing man, man, woman, woman. But you never hear the message of celibacy. You never hear the message of me and the Lord. Now, I want you to try to understand this. I know it's going to be hard, but let's say you have this gift, all right? But the world you live in ignores it. You never hear a message on it. Every movie you watch, there's nobody on there with it. People either straight or they gay. You understand what I'm saying? They like women or they like men or they like both of them. You understand what I'm saying? But nobody ever is just me and the Lord. Now imagine growing up in that. And the societal pressure that's on that person who was born to be with them and God. All right? What I'm saying is we got a lot of people with this gift that don't know they have it. Oh, people, I got two amen. People, it's not me, Pastor. It's not, I'm not saying this. I'm just preaching what he gave me. All right? Sometimes we meet people with this gift and we immediately label them. He don't like girls, he must be gay. That, what, how does, you never heard of Jesus? Huh? You never heard of Jesus? You never heard of Paul? That's what Paul says. For I would that all men were even as I myself. That's what Paul says. You see? He's talking about the gift. All right? We immediately label him as gay. And if it's a woman, we label him as lesbian. Or we try to pressure them in a relationship. Now, they're good by themselves. We go up to them. I got a friend, man. Boy, listen, I'm telling you. You're going to like her. You know? I had a lawyer friend. I mean, he was just good. Remember him? I'm going to say his name. And we was always trying to hook him up. Yeah. But I didn't know back then. I just didn't. But it's our culture. You feel me, minister? It's our culture. It's what we're living in. All right? The Bible calls them eunuchs. Y'all ever heard that in the word? A eunuch. All right? All right? I believe that there are a lot of eunuchs out there that don't know they're eunuchs. All right? I believe that a lot of them have actually turned out to be gay and lesbian. I believe that. Reason I believe that is because if you don't like girls, then you must be this. No, there's a third thing that I could be. Anybody hearing me up in here? I also believe that a lot of eunuchs got married under pressure, but they don't work too well in marriage. Now, a lot of people divorced. Divorcees. Been divorced a few times. All right? And never really got the revelation and the message that God maybe has called them to something else. Ain't nothing worse than being in a situation that you know you was never born for. I know this is a tough word. I know this is a tough word. All right? Look what Jesus says in Matthew 19. For there are some eunuchs which were born from their mother's womb. Born that way. Like Jesus. He didn't want no woman. He didn't want no man either. He wanted the Father. You see? And there are some eunuchs which are made eunuchs of men. Now, this was a barbaric time when they actually used to make men eunuchs. Like in the days of the Old Testament. You know, maybe Daniel them and the mother born. And they would do that through castration. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And that don't work out too good. When somebody who not born with a gift to stay away from women, and they not made through surgical means, and they just say, I'm going to keep myself and enter the ministry. If we look at certain denominations, we know that don't work too well. You either got the gift or you don't. The Holy Ghost telling me to keep going. The thing about the eunuch is, 1 Corinthians 7:32 says this, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to who? The Lord. That's what the eunuch focuses on, the Lord. How he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. It ain't nothing bad. But the single man ain't got to worry about, you know, how he dressed or how he cut his hair, if he take a bath, if he put the order on. You got to worry about that. He just, I'm here. But the married man got to cut his hair. He got to make sure he clean. He got to take a bath every once in a while. And he got to work. He got to labor. He got to provide, because if a man don't provide for his own household, he's worse than an infidel. So there's some worldly attachments that the married man got to have that the eunuch don't have to have. But Paul realized that everyone does not have the gift. 1 Corinthians 7, look what he says. Hallelujah. He says, where am I, y'all? 7:7. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man had his proper gift of God. One after this manner and another after that. Not everybody has that gift. Now, how many people don't have the celibacy gift? Don't have it. You see that? All right. I don't have it. You know? I love to be married. Deli, you got it? Listen. Paul realized that everybody don't have the celibacy gift. All right? So you can't force that on somebody. But if they have it and they can control themselves and live a lifestyle without having to burn in lust, that's an awesome thing. You know? All right? If you don't have the gift, then you fall under Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is good, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him. That's where most of us fall. So listen. God has given us two things so far that we covered that'll stop sexual immorality. Number one is marriage. Number two is that the people who have the celibacy gift to realize that they have it, amen, and not be caught up with our world and all the things in it, and go ahead and live how God had commanded them to live and give their life unto God, amen, and that'll stop fornication as well. Come on, give God some glory, amen. All right, I'm winding down. Here we go. Here we go. God has given us another thing to help us with fornication. Young people, listen up. All right? Until you of the age of marriage, this one going to apply to you. Run. Run. You're going to be running for 3 years. From 15 to 18, run. Run. Like Forrest. Run, Forrest. Run. All right? There's not too many things that the Bible tells us to run away from. And I'm talking to our younger people, but I'm talking to our singles, our widows, and for some instances, amen, married folk as well, amen. You got to learn when to run, amen, especially in adulterous situations. The Bible don't tell us to run from too many things, but look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. Run for your life. Every sin that a man do without the body, but he that committed fornication sinned against his own body, run. Now, a lot of times you run away from something that you can't beat. If you could beat something, then you don't have to run. And for the Lord tell us to run away from this, this is a good indication how strong this enemy is that we got to face in sexual immorality. Don't try to be a man and stand up to it. Amen. You better tie your shoes tight and beat your feet. You understand what I'm saying? Get out of that. Get out of that. All right? You got to do what Joseph did and not what Samson did. All right? Joseph ran. He ran himself out of his clothes. She had his shirt. He got out of his shirt. And he ran. All right? That's how you got to run. That's how you got to run away from it. You know? Young people, you know, you got to run from it. All that texting and talking and all of that stuff. Facebooking and all that. And y'all talking about things that y'all shouldn't be talking about. That's not running. That's marinating in it. You got to run from that. You got to stay away from that. Parents, you can help them by not allowing them to have that phone. You know, putting some safety mechanisms on that phone. And don't just go in that phone and put restrictions on the phone itself. Because them children know how to undo the restrictions. That's easy. That's easy. Don't be green. All right? Me and Brent can show you in a second how to undo that. The restrictions on the phone is not enough. You need some type of a covenantized search engine, you know, or they need not have the phone at all. Them kids so swift. Don't, you know, oh, man. Help them run, man. We got to put up boundaries while we're running. Try not to be alone with a man or with a woman, you know? Because the Bible says, place no confidence in the flesh. Try not to be alone with nobody like that. If you're going to be alone with them, let it be in the middle of Girard Park at 12 noon by the ice cream man truck. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all can't go to the house or, nah, man, that's, listen, most people can't fight that thing. You're not fleeing. All right? Oh, look what I have on my notes. No touching. All right? Now, I'm not talking about a holy hug. We could do a holy hug. Y'all know the holy hug? It's either from the side or far from, you know. Love you, my brother. Yeah. All right? That's not touch. That's not the touching I'm talking about. But y'all in a relationship or whatnot, or y'all courting, physical contact causes trouble, man. Run! You know? Young people, listen. 3 years. 3 years. That's all. That's easy for you to say. I'm just saying. 3 years. You give it to God. You sow them 3 years to God, and God gonna give you a lifetime of prosperity and success and blessings. Amen. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. I know if somebody came up to me and said, listen, if you invest 3 years, I'm going to make you a billionaire, you know? You'd be a fool not to invest those 3 years. And that's what God's going to do to our teens, amen? In order to do that, y'all, they got to run. The teens going to have to run from TV. They're going to have to run from that music that they're listening to. Because remember, the TV and the music is bar, girl, man, woman, fornication, sexual immorality, adultery. That's all Ashkenazi's putting out. So for you to have them sitting in front of that thing, watching that thing, you know, they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. You know? All right, here's the last one. Then we go. Y'all still up out there? I'm talking about. we just speaking to the king. How to avoid fornication. Marriage. We handling up in our marriages, you know? It's going to be a church with a bunch of children. You know? And then we flee fornication. Here's the last one. Let me talk about the spiritual remedies, and that's going to be it. If you're here, amen, and you done got married, y'all gonna get on to do benevolence, and you're still trying to flee. But you still find yourself struggling with being faithful or with sexual morality. You won't check salvation. you want to check salvation. Especially, hallelujah, if it's a bondage. And I want to add homosexuality in that. You got to check salvation. All right? Because salvation gives us the power, amen, to overcome sin. It's not, it don't mean that it won't, hallelujah, try to harass you every now and then. But on the inside of you, after you get saved, greater is he who's inside of you than he that works within the world. And so you got to make sure you're saved. You got to admit that you're a sinner. You got to believe in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, and you got to confess him. All right? You got to go to the cross. And after that, even for our saved folk, after you get saved, like I said, you're going to go through seasons where that lust is going to be on you. And guess where you got to go right back to? Got to go right back to the cross. And you got to remind that devil, amen, that you're dead in Christ. And he that is dead is free from sin. You got to remind the devil that since Jesus is my Savior, sin shall not have dominion over me. You got to remind that devil, he who's the Son has set free is free indeed. It's not about how you feel. It's about the truth that's spoken over your life. Amen. And so you just got to meditate on those scriptures. Amen. Especially during the times when you're in the fire. You got to remember, amen, that you've been bought with a price. And that he came to destroy the works of Satan, the power of Satan. Amen. It don't mean that, hallelujah, that feeling not going to come on you. But it ain't going to have power over you. Amen. So salvation, deliverance, hallelujah. Get in the word of God. The Bible says, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is true. The days that you don't read your Bible on a consistent basis, that's the days you're going to be the weakest against sexual immorality. Anybody hear me up in here? I'm talking about that husband, amen, that's trying his best to hold on. Getting that word. Your best day is going to be the days that you're in the Bible. Pray. The Bible says, pray lest you enter into temptation. Oh, yeah. You need to pray that morning. And while the temptation is going on, you need to pray. They're going to think you're crazy. That woman going to say, who you talking to? Don't you like me? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the Most High. Get me out of here, Jesus. Beat me up, Scotty. Wings don't fail me now. Listen. Prayer will get you out of that. Accountability. Find your woman or a man, amen. If you're a woman, find your woman or find your man, amen, if you're a man, where you can confess some things and talk about some things and your struggles with sexual morality, you know. There's some accountability. The Bible says in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avail much. You can't do it on your own. Get with your 12 leader. Get with your minister head, amen. Get with a friend in the church. Confess your faults. Talk about what's really going on and let them counsel you, man. You see? God don't want you living in fornication. He got something better for you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! So listen, saints, that was the third point. Speak unto the king. We watched Tamar give a beautiful case to Amnon as to why he should not force her to commit sexual morality. But it does not work. It does not work. And next Tuesday, we're going to pick up, and we're going to see what happens. Amen. And we're going to just, hallelujah, dissect that thing, open the hood up on that thing, and just look at it. Amen. And watch the inner sin. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your people being here and being patient. I thank you, God, that this wasn't a running and jumping word, but food don't have to be fancy to be good for us, Father God. I pray that this thing is nourishing to us and that, Father, some kind of way it would pull people out of sin tonight. I pray, God, that this word be so cutting and so rich and so freeing, Father God, that couples get married after tonight. That couples, Lord God, go home and perform their conjugal duties, God. Like they're supposed to, Lord God. I pray that this be an answered prayer for a husband, an answered prayer for a wife. Somebody might have been struggling here, Lord God. Drowning, Father God. Hoping for a way of escape. Hoping for you to say something, God. being tempted and not wanting to cheat, Lord God. I pray tonight we have exposed the devil's hand, God. We've cut him off, intercepted his plans. And I pray, God, marriages are saved. I pray, God, that our young people are fortified and built up, that they can see the whole picture, God. That they'll put in their 3 years, their 2 years they have left, God, and do it for your glory, God. I pray we marry virgins at this altar, God. People who have abstained, people who have done it right. I pray, God, when it's all said and done, that you get the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, stand to your feet with me, if you will. You heard the gospel, and now it's time to pray it. Say with me, say, God, thank you for loving me. I admit I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry. But I believe that you died for my sins. You were buried in the grave, and you rose on the third day. Lord, save me, a sinner, and wash me with your blood. I need you, Daddy. Help me, Lord. Help me to be pure. Help me to live right. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You want to shake my hand? In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. Lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with peace.
You are the real.